It's 11 p.m. This is Blight Night Meditations on WSCALP Portsmouth 106.1 on your FM dial. We're streaming live online at WSCAFM.org. Thank you very much for tuning in wherever you are. If you're in Portsmouth, if you're in the Seacoast area, if you're in New England, I've got listeners all over the United States. I've got listeners in Eastern and Western Europe, Southeast Asia. I've got regular listeners in New Zealand and Australia. I've even got a couple of listeners in Africa as well. Thank you very much for tuning in no matter where you are. Again, my email address, blacknightmeditations@emerson.com. And you can find out more information about 106.1 at WSCAFM.org. It was promised. B&M's roving metal reporter Matt Bauer has called in. We're going to talk about his trip to Wacken 2010. And he actually made it back alive. You may remember that Matt was one of the many attendees at Wacken last year. He called into B&M and we discussed his travels, everything from getting there to surviving and then getting home in one piece. He survived last year, and clearly he has survived again this year, and I've got Matt on the line. Right now we're going to talk Wacken 2011. We're going to talk about a crap load of bands he saw, everything from buying the tickets to getting over there to seeing the bands to getting back home and then pretty much decompressing and taking it all in after he's already gotten home. Hey, Matt, thanks a lot for calling in. Appreciate it.
Sure. Yeah, glad to be back.
And actually, it was not last weekend. It was the previous weekend, correct, that Wacken was?
Right.
And
yeah, it was 2 weekends ago.
So you've had time to sort of soak it all in to, because I can imagine it must be an absolute assault of the senses, you know, watching so many bands, being surrounded by so many people from all over the planet at a field in Germany for an entire weekend. Man, I've never done it. I like many metalheads. I want to do it. I don't know if I ever will, but you've done it a few times now. And before we get into the nuts and bolts of Wacken 2010, I would say of all the different festivals you've attended, especially the Wacken in the past, how does this rank? Was it the best one yet?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think band-wise, I would say it was definitely the best one yet. I think... Camping-wise, I would say it was the first time that I attended, which was in 2006. and last year, as you may recall, I had some issues camping with the neighbors near us, you know, not being quite as hospitable. But yeah, this year the camping was better. We ran into some issues with the camping as far as we had to move our tents actually twice. From the campsite where we were. The first time it was actually we were blocking an emergency road, and so they asked us to move. That was just on the first day as we were setting up.
Oh, what's the matter? You can't camp in the road? Come on.
And, yeah, it was, I mean, I guess there was tape that was up to kind of designate it, but some people had tore it down, so it wasn't easily noticeable. And then 2 days later, after we had moved, we were asked to move our tents again because they needed to use that space for Sunday, the final day, where people lined up to get on the shuttle buses. They actually, Wacken has a shuttle bus service that'll bring you from the Hamburg airport to the festival and back when it's over. And so that's where we were camping right near where they load the buses. So we were asked to move a second time, which was, you know, kind of annoying. But
you experienced a little bit of inconvenience this year, as opposed to in years past with the old camping issue. So it's much more than just simply going to another country and seeing bands play. There's so much more to it. You know what? Let's jump back to the very beginning of this whole process with starting at, well, simply getting your tickets. So let's start there. Let's say you decide you want to go to Wacken. You've got the funds for it. You're going to have the time off. You want to do it. You need to get your tickets. Where did you start? How did you get your tickets?
Yeah, actually, as far as I knew, the only place to get your ticket is actually, it's a website called metaltix.com. It's metaltix.com. And for this past year, the first two times that I went, I pretty much bought the ticket first day it went on sale. I got it right away. And they actually, Wacken does, if you're one of the kind of early birds, so to speak, if you're one of the first 10,000 people to get a ticket, it's what's called the Xmas package, the Christmas package.
You mean it's not called the early bird special?
No.
You don't get a free side of like pancakes or anything with your early bird special?
No, you do get some freebies, but food's not one of them.
Okay, so...
But, yeah, you get like a free shirt and okay. Usually like a CD sampler and a discounted price on the festival ticket itself.
Okay, so a shirt, a ticket, and a CD sampler, and that's only for the first 10,000, which you were one of them.
Right.
How far in advance was this that you bought the ticket?
The tickets, the Christmas packages usually go on sale. The past few years, they've gone on sale a day, probably like a day after the festival ends. So those go on sale right away.
Oh, wow. Okay. And when did you buy yours?
If you go to the festival and if you have to travel far, like me coming from the States, it's actually almost impossible to get a Christmas package because you're basically still in Germany when they go on sale, and they usually sell out in a matter of hours. So it's hard to get one of those.
Okay. And I take it that you bought yours. What did you buy yours last year?
Yeah, I did. Buy mine. I waited a while. I didn't get it right away. I was actually kind of waiting to see sort of who they confirmed. I wasn't 100% positive if I was going or not. And once they had announced Iron Maiden was coming back, yeah. I decided, I can't miss that.
So I decided.
I was going to go for it, get the ticket. And it just so happened that the day that they had announced Maiden, there was so much traffic that overwhelmed the main site. They actually put up a message that said that the festival was sold out. I went to try and get a ticket to Metaltix, said it was sold out, and I thought there's no way it could sell out this fast, but I figured, it's Maiden, maybe. So I started scouring message boards, seeing if there was any other way I could find a ticket, and someone said if you check the Nuclear Blast website, record company over in Europe, they were actually selling valid tickets. So I grabbed one there, and then the next day found out it wasn't actually sold out. They just had so much traffic, the site crashed, and that message was put up. So, but I was able to find a ticket through Nuclear Blast for this year.
And so you could go through a record label to get that Christmas deal.
It wasn't the Christmas deal.
It was just a regular
three-day ticket, okay. All-in ticket, as they say.
Okay. All right, so you got that, and you got it well in advance. All right, yeah. So let's jump forward to the traveling there. With getting flights nailed down, with getting tickets, I got to imagine that's as stressful as anything else with the whole process of trying to nail down the flights, getting, a flight booked that you could afford and that actually arrives not too early or not too late. How difficult was it for you to nail down flights, and how much in advance did you do it?
Yeah, I did it, I believe it was around the springtime, I think like March or April, when I booked a plane ticket. You can definitely book much earlier, and some friends of mine that I was actually meeting over there from Pittsburgh were able to book months ahead of that, and they were able to get a pretty good price. They booked their tickets for about $600 a piece flying directly to Hamburg. For me, it was about twice as much by the time I booked for the plane ticket.
So you flew into – I take it most people or everybody has to fly into the Hamburg airport?
Yeah, that's the main hub. Okay. The festival site itself is probably about between an hour and a half to 2 hours from there. But like I said, the festival these past few years has set up a shuttle service that you can actually go on, and similar to flights, you can reserve a shuttle, reserve a certain time, and then you can print off vouchers that you take with you when you go, and you just present that and be a shuttle ride from the airport to the festival site, and then again on the last day when the festival is done, it will bring you right back to the airport.
That's
really convenient.
Yeah, that makes it very convenient. Well. It must take care of a lot of issues. I mean, a lot less worrying you have to do because you've already taken care of transportation to Germany and then to the festival site and then back to the airport. So, yeah, that's definitely got to make it.
It was a lot different for me in 2006 because I went over to Germany for 2 weeks, and so I was doing sightseeing in addition to seeing the festival, and I had actually arranged beforehand. I found some sort of message board or site and got contact with a guy that was going to the festival and basically arranged for him to pick me and my friend up at the airport, give us a ride, and got a phone number and everything, got over there, and I'm like, okay, is this even really going to work, dialing a German number? And so I called the number, and a woman answers the phone. I'm like, great, I got the wrong number. It was actually the guy's girlfriend, and because she spoke more English than he did, so that's why she answered the phone. Mm-hmm. But so that was a bit interesting. That year I didn't use the shuttle. Just got a ride with a fellow Wakener.
But but Vulcan for years has offered a shuttle to and from the airport. Then,
yeah.
Okay. What are they? What are they? What is it? A school bus? Is it? I mean, what do they offer? What is the shuttle?
It's basically just like a pretty nice coach bus.
A coach bus.
You know, nice seats. They have air conditioning.
Wow, going the extra mile for the metalheads. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So. You've booked the flight, you booked the shuttle ahead of time, so you know you're going to be all set as far as getting to the airport and then getting to the site. So I take it you packed up all your camping gear and you got on the flight, you checked in your luggage, you get on the flight, you fly out up, I don't know how many times you have to stop. Probably, I guess you have to fly over to what, Heathrow Airport in London before heading over to Germany?
Coming, because I'm from Rhode Island, so coming from Providence, basically one of the main hubs on the East Coast is the Newark Airport. So I flew to there and then just got a flight from Newark actually right to Hamburg.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, no stops in London or anything like that. So.
Oh, okay. All right, so you get to the airport in Hamburg, and I take it, is this the day before the festival starts? Is this a Thursday, or what day did you get there?
Yeah, the festival, usually it starts on a Thursday, but actually the past few years they've even been booking bands on the Wednesday. And I've always planned to arrive on the Wednesday. That gives you time to set up the camp, explore the festival site. And then Thursday is kind of usually when the actual bands start playing. And that's what they refer to as the night to remember. And that's when they'll have the first headlining bands and open up the main stages and everything. And then Friday and Saturday are just all day, full days of music. But I always plan to arrive on the Wednesday.
Okay.
It usually works out pretty well. There's people that'll even get there earlier. I even read sometimes people even camp as early as Sunday and Monday, and
wow.
There's a reserved camping spot on the grounds for people that arrive early just to camp.
Wow. Okay. All right, so you get there on Wednesday. You're going to, because you want to make sure you're there for the Thursday show. And I should say the Thursday it was Maiden, Alice Cooper, and Motley Crue, right? Just those three?
Right, yep. And they also had some bands on one of the smaller stages known as the Wet Stage, which is in a tent. One of the new things they did this year was actually on the Wednesday and Thursday, they actually had a lot more bands than usual because they have something that they've done for years now called the Metal Battle, which is basically just like an international battle of the bands. They run contests in several countries throughout the year leading up to Wacken, and then they'll have a band from each country representing each country. I think it's like 20 or 30 countries or something like that,
yeah.
And they'll kind of battle it out on one of the smaller stages at the actual festival. And they had all those bands booked on Thursday and Friday, which I thought was nice this year because it gives you an opportunity to check out some of these smaller, unknown, up-and-coming bands. And at the same time, you don't have to miss more established acts on the main stage during the main days, Friday and Saturday. So I thought that worked really well.
And am I right that they had five stages?
Yeah, yep.
Wow.
They have the two main stages, the True Metal stage and the Black stage, that are side by side, and then they have a slightly smaller stage, the Party stage, which is still a pretty good, pretty big size stage, and then the Wet stage, which is the one in the tent, and then the fifth stage they have is called the Vikinger stage. It's actually in the Viking village, which is basically like a medieval sort of Renaissance fair setup that they have on the festival site.
And there were some pretty good bands on that stage. Equilibrium was there, Tear was there, Svartzot.
Yep.
And, of course, the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Yeah, which I initially misread as the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I said, what?
Yeah, they've gone too far.
Surprise,
All right, so you get there on Wednesday. You take the shuttle out there. You camp on Wednesday night. Actually, before we get into the bands, you take the shuttle to the site. It takes you directly to the camping grounds?
Yep, it drops you off right... There's the first thing you do when you get there is you go to the kind of the information desk or the wristband station, which the wristband, you show them your ticket and they'll rip it, and then they give you a wristband, which is basically your admission everywhere into the festival for the weekend. And you also get what's called the full metal bag, which is just kind of like a bag of goodies, usually like a rain poncho. There were earplugs in it this year, a pen, a patch for, Wacken patch, and just different things. And then you're right there, right at the campsite. You just walk in and find a spot and pitch your tent.
And there's really no, it's not segregated in any way. You just go and find a spot that hasn't been taken by anybody else, and that's really all it is, right?
Yeah, pretty much. They have sections marked off, and actually one of the cool things they've done with the campsite, because it's so huge, and as I was saying, they'll have roadways. On the map, every road has sort of like a metal band name You know, like you'll have Blind Guardian Boulevard,
like Man of War Way, stuff like that. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And everything has a band name, so that's pretty interesting, pretty cool.
You go down Motorhead Street and you take a left at Lizzie Borden Lane. And,
exactly.
That's cool. Okay, so you get there, you pitch your tent, and it's Wednesday. And, for those who haven't been to Vaughan, like myself, and explain the campgrounds. I mean, are you, like, on the outskirts of a town, or are you out in the middle of friggin' nowhere? I mean, explain the geography. Explain the campground.
Yeah, it's, Vaughan itself is just kind of like a small farming village, and everything's pretty much just set up in open fields. Depending on where you are in the campground, because it's so expansive, you could kind of be out in the middle of nowhere, or you could be actually on the outskirts of the village. Where we camped was actually just basically on the outskirts of the village, right kind of where the shuttle buses drop you off. It's actually just kind of right there. You can just walk, into the streets of the village. The main Vaughan info office is actually right there in the center of the village. There's an ATM there. They even had a small merch stand set up selling shirts. You can get the festival DVD that was for sale. And usually just the people that inhabit the village, a lot of them, they'll come out of their house, sit on their porch and, greet the metalheads and everything. It's, very good relationship with the village and the festival.
Oh, well, that's good. I guess it's good for the economy of their town. I mean, their village, yep. So. Oh, that's cool. All right, so you're close to a town, so there are amenities around. You're not just out in the middle of the forest somewhere.
Right, okay. Yeah, and even just in the campground, even if it's, further, they have porta-johns scattered throughout, and there's also shower camps, so you can get showers. There's even breakfast tents. You can get food and stuff. So,
do they charge for anything like the shower tents? I mean, are those? Do they charge for those?
Yep, they charge for the showers. The porta-johns are free.
I wonder if we could find out a count of how many of those damn porta-johns they have. I mean, because you figure how many tens of thousands of people go to Vaughan each year? Do you know how many it is each year? I'm not even
sure.
Yeah,
it's probably somewhere between I'd say 70,000 to 80,000.
Jeez, that's just insane. So imagine the portable toilets that they have to have out there to accommodate. That's just unreal. All right. Okay. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Well, I was going to say, you figure. I mean, obviously, by the end of the festival, there, it's not a pretty sight. The Port of John. But I figure the first day you should be pretty safe and pretty okay. And even just on the first day, I noticed a lot of them were running out of toilet paper. So it's definitely one of the things you'd want to bring along with you, which I did this year.
Oh, that's actually a good idea. We should talk about what, since you've done this a few times, you are pretty schooled in the art of what to bring to Vaughan. So what did you bring? What do you feel are necessities?
Yeah, I brought, toilet paper, definitely. You'll want a flashlight for walking around the campgrounds at night and things. I mean, they do have big spotlights and things, but it just makes life easier if you've got a flashlight. Sunblock, definitely. It can get pretty hot during the day, but you also definitely want warmer clothes, like long pants, long sleeves, sweatshirts, things like that, because it gets very cold at night. So
hot in the daytime, cold at night.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. So those are the basic necessities that people should take if they're going to Vaughan. Okay.
Yeah. And you also probably want to be safe. Bring a good pair of boots. Because if it rains, it can just be mud everywhere.
Oh.
I've been pretty lucky the years that I went last year. It was a bit of mud, but nothing too extreme. But I wasn't there in 2005. But from what I heard and saw, it just rained the whole time, and it was just
I remember hearing about that. Right.
Yeah. So.
Okay, so you camp over Wednesday night, and Thursday night's the first night of, say, the big bands. You've got the big headlining bands. For the wet stage on Wednesday, did you catch any of those bands, by the way?
I wanted to, and actually most of the metal battle bands I didn't catch because we spent most of Thursday and Friday walking around and getting merchandise because we knew on the main days we would just be seeing bands all day. But I did catch a couple of the bands on the wet stage on Thursday, Ghost Brigade and Gojira.
Okay.
I definitely wanted to make sure I'd see. So,
did any of those, either of those bands stand out for you? Did they deliver? Or were they disappointing?
Yeah, both were great. Ghost Brigade was definitely a rarity. I mean, I didn't know anything about them before the festival, and just seeing them announced, check them out, sounded brilliant. They're from Finland.
Who do they sound like?
Melodic death sound with elements of progressive metal. They're similar to Insomnium.
Oh, okay. All right, I got you. Okay.
Yep, really good stuff. Okay. And Gojira they overlapped with Maiden, but the way that it worked was Gojira's set. They had about 15 minutes after Maiden finished. So after Maiden finished up, I headed straight for the tent, the wet stage, and was able to find a spot just outside it because it was pretty jam packed already, and caught about maybe the last four or five songs of Gojira, and they just sounded awesome, very very powerful. And I wish I could have seen the whole performance, but I was glad to at least catch the end of it.
Okay. All right, so you know what? Let's jump into the bands. Thursday, yep. Alice Cooper, Motley Crue, Iron Maiden. Did you see all three?
I didn't see Motley Crue because I was seeing Ghost Brigade, and Svartzot was also that day, and they were on that in that Viking Village. They were pretty much the first band of the day for me. And so I saw about half their set and then headed down to see Alice Cooper, which for me, I don't know if he had an off night or if he just wasn't his best performance. He sounded off in places. I mean, he played a long set list, but I didn't see much of the stage show because I was at the back of the crowd. It was pretty crowded by that point, and kind of joining the show after it started and kind of getting in when I could because I wanted to see Svartzot. I basically just kind of took a spot at the back of the crowd. And because I hadn't gotten much sleep the night before, I actually was kind of sitting on the ground, sort of going in and out of sleep. One of the things with the main stage is they have big video screens set up on either side of them. So I was watching the video screens and kind of listening to the performance, just kind of going in and out. But he just didn't sound like he was on his A game.
And I take it he performed the usual songs, pretty much standard fare set list?
Yeah, yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's not surprising. And I guess if you're doing a festival with most people, they're probably not there to see you anyway. Yeah, I guess you got to do the obvious songs. So you missed the crew, but you caught the entire Maiden set.
Yeah, most of that I caught, and they were doing kind of promoting the new album and playing cuts off the newer records, Brave New World, Dance of Death, and A Matter of Life and Death, which I was actually happy to see. You know, having seen the classics on the Somewhere Back in Time tour a couple of years ago, so
yeah, and the thing with the Maiden set list, they've been pretty much doing the same set list every show since they've been doing shows this year, and Maiden is kind of known for doing that. They'll stick to a set list, and maybe they'll change one or two songs throughout the course of the tour, but they do the same set. Now, some people have said, "Oh man, it's mostly the new stuff and only a couple of old songs," but I think I'll agree with you because, you know, for several years now, they've been playing old stuff. They did the early years tour supporting that DVD, playing mostly stuff from the first couple of records. Then they did the Somewhere Back in Time tour, where they pretty much did nothing but 80s stuff, save for like one 90s tune. And so they've been doing old stuff for years and years. And now they've got an opportunity to promote this new album and then play stuff from the last couple of records. I get it. It's not going to be my favorite Maiden set list. I saw them on the A Matter of Life and Death tour, where they perform the entire album, from beginning to end, and then just five old songs. So I've seen Maiden in both aspects of nothing but new stuff and then nothing but old stuff. And did you know going into the Maiden set that they were going to do primarily the new stuff, or did it catch you off guard? Did you know what they were doing ahead of time?
No, I knew what they were doing.
Okay.
Didn't catch me off guard or anything. So.
Okay, so you knew what was coming, and that way you weren't surprised, like, whoa, only a few old tunes. Okay.
There was a guy I remember that I met from Israel that was completely caught off guard. He said he was expecting to hear all the classics, and I said, oh, you're about 2 years too late.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, all right, so that pretty much wraps up Thursday. Although, you said you saw Svartzot. I want to know, how were they? I like them. Great band.
Yeah, they were good. Again, a band that I really I had heard of them before Valken, but I hadn't really listened to them, didn't know much about them.
Except for what you've heard on BNM, of course.
Yeah. And I actually, I got there, I must have gotten there pretty early because there weren't too many people there. I got up right close on the stage, and they started playing a song, and it must have just been like a sound check because they just played one song. And then they said the proper set would start in about a half hour. And by that time, a lot more people had shown up. And so we kind of took a spot kind of more toward the back, closer to the exit, because we were getting ready to, after about, like I said, halfway through the set, leave to go catch Alice Cooper. But they were good. I liked them. Definitely plan on checking them out further. Kind of reminded me of Fintroll, but, you know, with a happier sounding. But, yeah, they went well.
Cool. All right, so after Maiden, and then you said Gojira played a little bit after Maiden, and
yeah, yep.
And so that pretty much wrapped up Thursday at that point then, right?
Right.
So I guess they just shut the lights off on the stage, and then everybody just crawls back into their tent for the night, or I mean, are there party areas overnight? I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, there's pretty much parties, pretty much the campground. That's what that is. It's just a big all-night party. And
so
they also, on the wet stage, they actually, the stages and the bands performing usually close down around 3 a.m., but then on the wet stage, they have metal karaoke going till 6 a.m., which is basically just fans getting up and, you know, singing whatever they want on stage. So.
Oh, my God, and if they've been drinking, oh, geez, and it's overnight, that's got to be totally disastrous. I mean, horrible and yet awesome at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's not like people had to, like, okay, if you're here, you have to stay in your tent or you have to sleep or this is the quiet area. It's like pretty much anything goes on a campgrounds.
Take what you get. I always take the good with the bad. Because,
okay.
I mean, one of the nice things about the campground, and it was good this year, you just get to meet a lot of great people. There was a guy from Sweden that basically just kind of camped with us, hung out with him, and met people from Spain, like I said, Israel, the Netherlands. You meet a lot of great people, but it can also be just very loud at night. It can be tough to get to sleep.
Mm. And it may sound like a silly question, but maybe not. I mean, since you were there last year, and I have to wonder, any chance at all you're, you know, walking around the campgrounds or just watching a show and you're like, oh, I remember that guy from last year. Any of that? I mean,
I'm trying to think. Hasn't really happened, but I remember last year I actually I ran into someone that I had known via the internet, and actually. He had run a radio show out of the University of Maryland, and so I'd gotten to know him through that, but I'd never met him in person. And just on the first day of the festival, we were standing in the supermarket area, and I knew what he looked like, and I saw this guy, and I was like, oh, you know, are you Scott? And he's like, yes, I am. And so we ended up just randomly meeting, and then throughout the festival, ran into each other probably two or three more times without even planning it. You know, 70,000 people. It's like, oh, it's you again. So.
Exactly. That's what I'm kind of getting at, is that even though there are tens and tens and tens of thousands of people there, that you can actually run into somebody like, oh, I know that guy, or I've met her before, that kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, it was actually kind of similar on the shuttle bus ride over. A couple of friends that I actually met there last year from Pittsburgh, we were all planning on going again. We met up at Newark, and then pretty much we're together on the plane over and camped together and everything. And on the shuttle bus over, the last two people on the bus happened to actually also be from Pittsburgh, and they actually had known each other from seeing them each other at shows in Pittsburgh, and so they ended up camping with us. So it can be funny like that.
Yeah. One big happy family. Okay, so we got to get to like a gazillion bands. We're not going to go over every band that was at Wacken or every band that you saw, because you saw literally dozens of bands. So let's talk some of these bands that you saw. How about Amorphis? I love Amorphis, and I love all their different styles. You know, the early death metal stuff, where and then the mid period where they started to move away and add some more progressive elements. Even their albums where a lot of the diehards kind of panned the albums, like Am Universum. I happen to love those records. And even the more recent stuff, which is kind of a little more heavier, a little more aggressive at times. What did you think of Amorphis?
I absolutely loved Amorphis. Again, you know, I'd known a little bit about them. You know, I'd heard bits and pieces. You know, don't own any of their albums. Had never seen them live. They were possibly the band of the festival for me. It's hard to pick one this year because there were so many, you know, excellent ones, but their performance was just, I mean, it was brilliant. They were on kind of early in the day. They believe they opened the True Metal stage, so they were kind of the second band of the day. They followed Deucented on the Black stage, which was they're right next to each other. But yeah, Amorphis caught their whole set and was just amazed, loved it.
Oh, that's awesome. I think they're a fantastic band, and you're saying that you don't own their records. I think you need to get... if I had to recommend two records, I would say go for Elegy and go for, maybe Tales from a Thousand Lakes. That's really the one that established them. The vocals are a bit monotonous, but Elegy is where they really started to progress away from their early sound. Maybe just get Elegy and then decide if you want to go backwards or forwards. Maybe start.
Today I actually picked up their recent double CD DVD live release.
The Thousand Lakes something. I forget what it's called. Yeah,
Tales from Thousand Lakes or something like that. Yeah, so.
Cool. I think it's pretty cool that, Amorphis is a band you weren't overly familiar with, might have been the band of the festival for you. That's pretty damn cool. Was the crowd reaction pretty good for those guys? Because they've been around for a long time. They're a very well-known metal.
Yeah, it was great. They had a good-sized crowd, even though it was early in the day. A lot of people showed up to them and got a great response.
Awesome. I must admit, I don't know Suicidal Angels. What were they about?
They're pretty much thrash. They're actually from Greece, and they were on the wet stage. They actually played right after Amorphis. they didn't have where I was positioned. I was up front on the barricade, but to the right, so I'd only see some of the stage. But I didn't see like a banner or anything like that. It didn't seem like they had a real flashy set or anything. But it just kind of came out and just straight on thrash, and they were great.
Who did they sound like?
Were
they like a modern thrash or old school thrash?
Yeah, I'd say more of a modern sound. Okay. Thrash. Mm-hmm. I'm trying. There's a band that it's on the tip of my tongue, and I can't think of the name of it right now.
How was Orphaned Land?
Yeah, Orphaned Land. They were really good. They were one of the bands that I only caught. Part of the set, because they actually overlapped with Suicidal Angels, but I caught the second half of it. They played one of the main stages. They actually also played in 2006 when I was there, and I had missed them completely. So I wanted to be sure to check them out. And again, not a band I was overly familiar with, but they were really good.
Cool.
It was kind of the front man, dressed in just this white gown, and at one point he kind of was saying to the audience, I'm not Jesus. Even though he pretty much looks exactly like him.
It's 33 minutes after 11 p.m. We're talking with B&M's roving metal reporter, Matt Bauer, about his trip to Vaucon a couple of weekends ago. I got to ask you about Voivod. We can't not talk about Voivod. Have you seen Voivod before, or was this your first time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was my first time. I know they were on, they played one of the Ozfests, I think it was like 2003 or something, and I was there. And for some reason, I don't have any memory of seeing them. I can't remember if I saw them at Ozfest or not, but I caught the second half of their set at Vaucon, and I loved it. I actually bought one of their, Couture's, which I found at one of the merch tents later on. But they were great. They closed their set with their Pink Floyd cover, Astronomy.
Oh, Astronomy. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And
they're a legendary band. I imagine the crowd reaction must have been great for those guys.
Yeah, and they were on the party stage, which again, not as big as the main stages, but it's still a pretty good size. And they had a pretty good size crowd there. Trying to think some of the other songs on the set list: Experiment, Nothing Face, Global Warning, Ripping Headaches.
Okay, cool. It's cool. Yeah, I give them credit for doing some of the really older stuff because their sounds of the last few records are nothing like the old stuff. And I hate to be one of those metalheads that only likes the old stuff. But when it comes to Voivod, I prefer the old stuff. The last three records, not for me. But I'll go see them live if I can. Even if all their albums they do in the last few years are terrible, I don't care. I'll always go see Voivod. I want to ask you about this band that I've heard about for years. I've never listened to. I'm assuming they're an industrial band, the DAR band. What's their name?
Oh yeah, the Apocalyptian Rider.
Yes, thank you. Who do they sound like?
That's tough. I never know who to say they sound like. There's places where they remind me of Rammstein, but I would say that's mostly just vocally and just kind of it's just kind of comes and goes to me. They're a German band, songs are in German. They're usually a pretty big hit at the festival. They've played it several years. I would say they definitely have touches of industrial. It's hard to describe their sound. I always have a tough time trying to I can't really compare them to anybody.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think they've really not made any headway in the States I mean, I don't even know if they have any official releases in the States. I'm not even sure. I mean, we don't have anything at the station. We haven't gotten anything from them in years, or actually at all. But, yeah, from what I understand, they are big in Europe and big in Germany, and I can't imagine why.
I mean, they're pretty interesting to start the set. The frontman, Fuchs, he actually, there was just kind of this big sort of black balloon or kind of ball just on stage, and he basically popped out of that to start the set. And then, and I've never figured this out. I don't know what this is, but their keyboardist, who goes by Dr. Pest, he's always wearing some sort of like bondage mask, and on the stage setup he had it was like his own personal playground. He had a slide and a swing, and I don't know what it had to do with.
There's nothing more metal than a swing.
Yeah, he was enjoying himself. So
there are some pretty well-known bands playing also on Thursday. I want to talk about. Surprisingly, Lizzie Borden was left on playing a small stage as opposed to a big stage. How was Lizzie's set?
Well, yeah, Lizzie's set was great. Awesome. I love that show. I was actually, like you said, it was on the one of the smaller stages in the tent, and Evile was on right before that, and I was already in there to catch Evile. And they also had a really great set, probably one of the shortest, but one of the most intense. They only had 5 songs, but they got a circle pit going that just kicked up so much dust, so you could hardly even see them on stage.
I mean, awesome.
It was crazy.
That's great.
And then Lizzie, it was definitely, put on the show, during There Will Be Blood Tonight, actually came down to the front row of the audience, pretty much everyone on the barricade, which I was one of them, and had a cauldron of blood and just smeared it on everyone's face. So,
yep.
So I got bloodied.
Oh yeah,
by Lizzie.
that happened to me a couple of months ago when I was down in your neck of the woods in Rhode Island at the Lizzie Borden show. He had the bucket of blood, and of course I yelled out Lizzie, so he naturally grabbed a bunch in his hand and smeared it on my face.
Yeah. Everyone was asking me like, "Oh, what happened to you? And it looks like you sliced your neck." And I was, all I had to say was Lizzie Borden. They were like,
"Oh, okay." Lizzie took the axe to me. 40 whacks. Yeah. 40 whacks from Lizzie with the axe.
great set list too. American Metal, Me Against the World, Red Rum. And they closed it with a Dio tribute doing a Rainbow cover of
Long Live Rock and Roll. Yeah, so, awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
It's too bad he was on the small stage, but hey, at least he was there, period. So, but the whole band is awesome. The Lizzie Borden band and Lizzie himself. Nice guy. I did interview him in down in Rhode Island, and I still got to put that interview on the air and post it online too. So let's talk Camelot. I've never seen them. I want to see them. I'm one of those guys that I know I'm going to be disappointed when I see them because they're not going to play the songs I want to hear them play, notably from the Fourth Legacy. That aside, did you enjoy Camelot's set?
Yeah, most of Camelot I actually missed. This was one of the clashes, the dilemma, and I had to decide between Lizzie Borden and Camelot. I figured because I had missed Lizzie, had already come through, like you said, in Providence, I figured, I'll see Lizzie. Camelot's coming next month to the Palladium.
Right.
So,
that makes sense.
But it overlapped enough that I caught probably the last two or three songs of Camelot, which was kind of interesting because during their performance, all of a sudden everyone just kind of looked up and there was a hot air balloon just floating by right over the festival. And it was pretty hilarious. Because it was actually toward the end of their set, and it was doing Forever, and Roy was trying to get a sing-along going for the chorus, and everyone was distracted by the hot air balloon, including Roy, and he messed it up, and he's like I effed that up, let's start again. And it's kind of one of those moments. It was awesome.
A metal show derailed by a hot air balloon. Jeez, God. How about Arch Enemy? How were they?
They were pretty good. I didn't really see them. I was kind of more towards the back and during their set, but I heard most of it. I saw them in 2006. They played the Black Stage as they did this year. I'm not too familiar with the newest album. I haven't gotten a hold of it. Haven't heard too much from it, but I've heard good things about it. They seem to have a big crowd, good reaction.
Yeah, I saw Arch Enemy earlier this year down in Worcester, And I've seen them several times. Best I've ever seen them. They were fantastic. They had Exodus opening for them. Arch Enemy surprised me. I knew they were. I expected them to be good, but they were excellent. And their most latest studio album. Well, they've actually did an album of re-recordings of old songs, which was not bad. It was okay. But their last full-length regular album, Rise of the Tyrant, I think it's the best record they've ever done. So if you don't have that, oh, man, I recommend it. I absolutely nailed it with that one. And I thought the previous two were just okay. But they really nailed it with Rise of the Tyrant. All right, so...
Yeah, I'll definitely have to look for that.
Yeah. There are a few more bands I want to ask you about, and I know I've had you on the line for quite a while. Before we jump back into these other bands, I remember last year you were telling me about what else Vakken had as opposed to just watching bands. There were other things you could do, you know, like the marketplace kind of thing with all the vendors and the various things that were set up. Talk a little bit about what else was there, to do, and how you handle that with tens of thousands of other people trying to do the same thing.
Yep. like you said, the market they refer to as the metal market, and that's just a ton of stands set up, everything from shirts, patches, jewelry, you know, any kind of clothing. And then they have just their own tent, which is called the Rarities Tent, of just CDs, DVDs. There's more shirts in there. That's where you can find a lot of rare stuff, and most of it's actually really decently priced. There's a lot of stuff in there for like 3 or 5 euros, which is pretty good. I think the exchange rate at the time was about $1.30 for 1 euro. So some pretty good deals in there.
Cool.
In addition to the metal market, as I mentioned before, they have the Viking Village, which is kind of like a medieval Renaissance fair type of setup. They have like fire jugglers, different games going on that fans can actually participate in. I remember last year I spent some time there. Saw people sword dueling. I think they even had like some knights like jousting and different things. So, kind of brings you back in time. And something that they also had last year, as well as this year, they brought it back. Which both years I didn't really check it out, but a big tent. And then they have wrestling. They have wrestling matches going on in this tent. And one of the new things this year that I wanted to check out that I didn't get a chance to was called the Circus of Horrors. Kind of like this freak show, circus show that they brought in for a couple performances, which sounded interesting.
Now, I remember last year you were telling me, and I'm wondering if this is a Vakken regular thing. When you're in the where you're buying the metal stuff, that because there are so many people and there's so many lines, once you buy your stuff, you really can't move, and that you pretty much have to be passed around above everybody, kind of like crowd surfing.
That was the case last year, and mainly where I saw that was because even in the main festival area where the stages are, they have merch stands, bigger ones, which mainly are just shirts. That's where you can get like your festival shirts, hoodies, jackets, different things like that. And then there's also a big one set up near the wet stage, which with band merch, like specific merchandise for the bands that are performing there. But I didn't see that this year. But yeah, last year it was so packed. And usually that's like, you know, like Wednesday, Thursday is when you want to go and try and get your festival shirt, because those sell out right away. And so people are even throughout the whole festival, people just kind of mob those merch stands. Even late at night, it'll be like 9, 10 o'clock at night, it's dark. You'll be, you know, be walking through and there'll still be just lines at those shirt stands.
Wow. So for merchandise, you can pretty much buy anything metal-related, whether it's patches, clothing, CDs, and vinyl. You can pretty much buy anything, right?
Yeah, yep.
Awesome.
They have a wide range.
Awesome. You know, there are a lot of – you saw tons of bands, and we won't have time to go over all of them. So how about this? Right. I'm just going to rattle off some bands that I would have liked to have seen that you did see. And you can either tell me horns up, horns down, or add in anything specific, or you can just simply say yay or nay, whatever. Anything you want to add, just go for it. And although I will say, starting out with Gravedigger, they were doing an anniversary thing because they decided to do the entire Tunes of War LP from beginning to end. So Gravedigger, thoughts?
Yeah, Gravedigger, again, there were so many clashes this year, and originally I'd planned on seeing the entire show because they were doing the Tunes of War album in its entirety. They were going to feature, Doro, Hansi Kirsch, from Blind Guardian, Dan Tanto, They were going to have, a 20-piece pipe and drum corps.
Wow.
Big pyro show, you know, just pull out all the stops. But that was the same time that Equilibrium was playing, and I thought, okay, you know, I'm going to not get another chance to see Equilibrium. So stayed for the beginning of Gravedigger, which, I mean, just sounded awesome. I hope they decided to film that whole show for a DVD, you know, special release or something, because I would like to see the rest of it. But, yeah, we made, and this is actually probably my biggest criticism of the festival, was the fact that Equilibrium was scheduled on that small stage in the Viking Village, because we made our way over there to see them, and, I mean, you could barely get into the Viking Village area, never mind get even close to the stage. I mean, it was just jam-packed with people. That, I think, was probably a big mistake. The reason that they schedule, you know, the pagan, you know, folk bands, you know, fits the atmosphere of the, you know, medieval Renaissance thing.
Right.
But, you know, bands like Tyr, Equilibrium, you know, Tori Sas, bands like that have such a, you know, large following. It just, it's too many people to cram into that space.
And it's too bad.
We couldn't even get close to the stage. I was able to hear about one song, and then we left. It was, I couldn't see anything. I mean, it was just...
That's too bad.
One of my friends that was with us, there were so many people just going in and out of that entrance-exit area and just jam-packed. She was barely standing on the ground for some of the time. It was just so many people. So, that was crazy.
That's too bad, because how often are you going to get a chance to see a band like Equilibrium? It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Horns up or horns down for Slayer?
Slayer, I really didn't see, because they followed Gravedigger, but I heard them. I saw a bit of them. They had closed off the main entrance to the main festival area while Slayer played, because there was just so many people. It looked like they had pretty standard set list full of hits. I know lately they had been doing Seasons in the Abyss in its entirety. They didn't do that. They played World Painted Blood, Hate Worldwide off the new album. And then, you know, pretty much the hits that they always play.
Right.
Sounded, you know, really powerful. I heard, you know, some crazy pits. But this was a weird thing that I have to mention. The first time that I've seen this, and I was confused by it, but they actually were broadcasting announcements of no circle pits, no walls of death, and at one point they were even saying no moshing. Which,
what?
I mean, you just scratch your head and you say, what?
Oh, come on. You know what? I have to think if they just did that solely for the sake of insurance reasons. Because that's just, they have to know how ridiculous that is.
Yeah, they were saying, I guess, because last time that, you know, there were too many broken bones or something. And what I think it may have had to do was, and I don't know if you heard about this, but about a week before Wacken, there was that Love Parade festival, some techno festival in Germany, where people actually got trampled to death.
I did hear something about that, yeah.
Yeah, so I wondered if maybe it was you know, some backlash to that, but yeah.
Probably.
We just could not. I mean, you have bands like Slayer and Cannibal Corpse, and you're going to say, you know, no circle pits. And
no moshing, that's just, yeah. I'm sure, I have to wonder if their insurers were then worried about, because of that, because of what happened with those deaths at that other fest, I'm wondering if they said, look, you know, we'll make announcements, we'll do this, going to work. Because they really can't stop that, they just can't.
And it was annoying too, because they would put up the circle with the line through it, no circle pits, right on the video screen, so it would interrupt the band performances that you're watching. And you know,
so in the middle of a band performance, they do that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Some people even got a joke circle pit going during Ed Guy, just to kind of, you know.
If anything, I would think in the middle of something like Slayer or anybody else, it would make you do it even more. I mean, it'd get exactly. Even more people in it. Yeah, I that's got to be for insurance reasons. That's, oh, man.
That's another criticism. But
That's kind of funny, though. I mean,
yeah,
it's
and actually, because there were so many people there for Slayer and they had the entrance closed off, we were trying to get into the West Stage to see Isan because, again, you know, how often are you going to get a chance to see Isan? And they weren't letting us in, and we're thinking, oh, okay, so we're going to miss this rare performance because of all these people that are here for Slayer. And we talked to security, and they said, just go through the exit area. So we were actually able to get in and see Isan. We didn't miss it, but, you know, for a second there, we thought we were going to.
So you caught his entire set?
Yeah.
Because if I had to have, like, five or six acts I had to absolutely see, Isan is definitely one of them. One of those I would not want to miss, no matter who else was playing. Seriously, I'm not kidding. If Isan was playing at the same time as Iron Maiden, I'd be at Isan. Nothing against Iron Maiden. It's just I've seen them enough times that I can miss them. But when am I ever going to get to see a song? So how was the set?
Yeah, he was great. And I mean, I love his, you know, his latest album.
After. Oh my God, it's a masterpiece.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he did The Barren Lands, Gravenverst, Close with Frozen Lakes on Mars. It's short set. The others in the set list, they played Scarab, Emancipation, and Called by the Fire. But yeah, he was great.
I found myself
very, very fortunate because I was there in 2006 when Emperor headlined the Black Stage, so I got to see Emperor and now I got to see Isan. So
cool. Did Isan have any time to throw in an Emperor tune? Because I know he does that in his live shows. He'll do one or two Emperor songs.
Yeah, he didn't for this.
No? Okay.
Yeah, it was
and that's fine.
I think he went on. I think it was around 1 a.m. or so. He was on pretty late.
Wow. Okay. No, I can understand. He wants to cover all three of his albums. He's got a new album to promote. And cool.
Yep.
Anvil, horns up or horns down?
Anvil, horns up.
Okay, cool.
And I wanted to see their whole set, and I was by the time Isan ended, I was kind of falling asleep standing up, and so I decided to make my way back to the tent. But Anvil was playing as I was walking by, and they sounded immense.
Cool.
Really, they surprised me. I mean, I'd never, you know, seen them live, but just hearing them, they just sounded powerful, and I really wish I had more energy to stay for their set, but I'd definitely say horns up.
How about Campfire? I'd love to see those guys live.
Oh, Campfire is probably the contender with Amorphis for Band of the Festival.
Awesome.
They were brilliant. They're just amazing. They played, it was fairly early in the day on the party stage, so it was daylight, but it didn't matter. They were phenomenal.
Do you remember if they did Lichtenman? Because that's my favorite song by them.
Let's see. Yeah, I was just going to call up the set list. I know that they did. They said they were doing a rare treat. I think they said they had only performed the song like two or three times from the first album. I think it was Norse.
I was going to ask you, did they do Norse or Him? Or that's cool.
Yep,
awesome.
Yep, they did Norse, Him.
They did them both.
Bruno, Dodens, V. Yeah.
Oh, man. Damn!
Yeah, just amazing. They were. I can't say enough good things about them. And they even had Pyro too. Party stage. Yeah, Pyro show. They were excellent.
Yeah, along with this on Campfire is definitely a band that I would had to have seen while I was there. I've seen Unleashed before. They're one of my favorite bands. I love them. I take it they went over pretty well. Lots of moshing for them. Lots of bangers.
Yeah, they were, unfortunately, they were on at the same time as Campfire.
How did they manage to screw that one up?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest clashes for me. I saw probably about 70% of Campfire and maybe 30% of Unleashed.
Okay.
So I kind of just caught the end of their set, but yeah, they definitely sounded like they had a good set. They closed with Long Ships Are Coming and Death Metal Victory.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Love Unleashed.
I hope I can catch them headline sometime, or at least the full set, just to really get a vibe for them. But
all right, let's go through quickly here just a few more bands. Overkill?
Definitely horns up.
Awesome.
One of the best sets for me. Mix the old and new material. Threw in Coma, Hammerhead.
Nice.
In Union We Stand.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
They were great.
Awesome. How was Lockup?
Lockup, I caught the second half of their set, but and I didn't really know much about them. Just some of the band members that were involved, Shane Embry and Thomas Lindberg. But yeah, they were good. I caught the second half of their set, but they were loud and powerful. They played the Black Stage, but they seemed to do well.
How about Wasp?
Wasp was another favorite performance of mine, and specifically when they played the Idol, it was just something about I got caught up in it. I mean, it was probably one of the moments of the festival for me. They were excellent. I loved them.
And I imagine it's pretty much standard fare set list. The fact that they showed up and didn't cancel says something.
Yeah.
Oh, good old Blackie. Awesome, man. If they did the Idol, yeah, that's no doubt there's going to be some emotion in that one. How about Immortal?
Mortal was pretty much the main reason that I was going this year. They were the first band to be confirmed. I've been waiting to see them live for a long time. The set list was very heavy on newer material, but I mean, just to be able to see Immortal was awesome. And I was pretty close up in front of the stage for them. And they did four cuts off the latest, you know, the title cut, you know, All Shall Fall, Rise of Darkness, Hearts of War, Norden on Fire, and they actually had blue pyro, blue flames for that song, so that was really cool. And Beyond the North Waves was probably my favorite moment in their set.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
and I've noticed that they've been doing a couple of they have done a couple of shows recently where they didn't even do any older stuff.
Yeah,
like say from like Blizzard Beast on backwards, they didn't do any old stuff. Did they do any old stuff at this time?
No, surprisingly, no. The oldest song that they did was Withstand the Fall of Time.
Wow, so they kept it from when they changed. Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah,
but again, even in a newer Immortal set, I would take over Nothing. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was just happy to see them.
All right, so we'll talk about two other bands, which are two other bands I would definitely would have want to have seen without a doubt. How was Udo?
Yeah, Udo was awesome. He closed out basically the entire festival. He was on at 2 a.m., and I was worried because the both previous years that I went, I mean, you know, the end of the festival, the last night, you have like zero energy, and I really wanted to make sure I caught that set, and I did with no problems. I was up front, and... you know, played about four Accept songs, did Metal Heart, Midnight Mover, Princess of the Dawn, and, of course, Balls to the Wall.
Right.
But, yeah, he was awesome. I was glad I caught him.
And do you remember what songs he did off of Dominator?
Yeah, he did Boogeyman and Dominator.
Okay. Do you happen to remember if he did anything off Time Bomb? Because that went along with Dominator, my favorite Udo records.
Let's see. I can't remember which... are on that, but he did. I can give you the set list real quick. Independence Day, Bullet and the Bomb, Thunderball, Vendetta, Man and Machine, Animal House, and Holy.
Okay.
Were the rest.
Okay. And then, you know, I mentioned a few bands that I absolutely positively would have to see, along with, like, say, Campfire and Isson. One I wouldn't miss for anybody. Even if Iron Maiden were on stage, I would not have missed Tiamat because they were doing the entire Wild Honey record. And Tiamat's 1994 LP Wild Honey and then the follow-up in 97, A Deeper Kind of Slumber, very important albums for me. I've said it before, A Deeper Kind of Slumber, all genres of music, no matter what, my favorite album of all time. It's just like, or I should say, I think it's the greatest album of all time. But, you know, and I think Wild Honey is an amazing, amazing record. It kind of set the standard for that mid-90s dark metal thing that was going on at the time, especially the Century Media roster. So even though it's, you know, like 16 years later, 15, 16 years later, after the fact, I still would want to see Tiamat do that, even though they're a totally different band now. I mean, they've been doing the whole goth rock and goth metal thing for quite a while now in the last few records. But that aside, I mean, I'd still want to see him do Wild Honey. Did you catch the entire set?
I did. Yep. I made sure I wasn't missing that for anything. And
how was it?
They were probably definitely the top five for me, possibly even top three performances. You know, again, phenomenal. It was really cool too because even the atmosphere suited it. It started raining during their set. So.
Oh wow, that could definitely add atmosphere and definitely set the mood.
Perfect. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned Deeper Kind of Slumber because actually. Today, I actually found a used copy of that and also Skeletron.
Okay.
Picked those up.
Okay. Since you brought it up, I will say A Deeper Kind of Slumber is really the first album where you could argue that they're not a metal band anymore. It's tough to call Slumber a metal record. I mean, you could say Tiamat is a metal band doing a non-metal album. But that aside, it's an album that it's beyond amazing. I would put that against any recorded music in history and say I don't think it can be topped. Now, Skeletron, the follow-up, they really started delving into their goth influence with Johann's love of like Sisters of Mercy and stuff like that. Skeleton went even further, and it didn't have as much atmosphere or as much melody as Deeper Kind of Slumber did. But you know, it's good. It's good. But I would say it's for the Tiamat fans only. But man, I'd love to find out what you think of Slumber after you listen to it, maybe 1, 2, 10 times.
yeah, because basically just after seeing Tiamat, I mean, ever since that performance, I have had this craving to listen to them, and I didn't own anything, so
Well, other than Wild Honey, what other songs did they do?
That was it. They just did
Wild
the
Honey.
Album in its entirety, it was interesting too. I mean, it was really no crowd reaction. You know, no crowd interaction. Didn't talk or anything, just played,
That's perfect.
One song from the other and just, at the very end, just, you know, thank the crowd and left the stage. So
that's perfect.
It, unique, but yeah, it was great.
And everything sounded great. Did they have any sort of show to go along with it, or did they just come out, do the songs, and leave? I mean, was there a presentation involved?
Yeah, they had a bit of a light show, and they had a screen kind of set up in the back with just you know, different footage and things. Okay. So yeah, to add to it.
So definitely one of the highlights of Walkin' for you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Without a doubt.
Man, I hope that was filmed. I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
It is midnight. This is Black Knight Meditations on WSCA LP Portsmouth 106.1 on your FM dial. We're streaming live online at WSCAFM.org. I'm Mark. I'm speaking with Matt Bauer, who attended the Walkin' Fest over in Germany a couple of weekends ago. We're going to wrap up his thoughts on the fest and talk about how we survived and made it home in one piece. So those are pretty much, that's like a third of the bands you saw, the bands we talked about. You saw a crap load more. So I guess, you know, by the time the fest was over on or ending on Sunday, first of all, do you actually see, do you notice that by the time Sunday rolls around, has the crowd started to thin out already, or is it packed no matter what till the bitter end? When does the crowd start thinning out, do you notice?
Yeah, actually, the crowd starts to thin out almost right away, which I didn't really experience last year, but I saw this because we were camped near the shuttle buses. The first buses scheduled to leave on the Sunday are actually at 4 a.m. Like I said, the music ends at 3 a.m. So on my way back to the tent, I was actually walking. There was already people just lining up, all packed up, tent, you know, put away and everything, getting ready to board the shuttle buses. And just pretty much all throughout the night, announcements of you know what bus is, you know, is scheduled when and where to find it and different things. So they start leaving right away.
Now, do you see people leaving while the festival is still going on? I mean, say Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon, do you find that there's a good percentage of the crowd already leaving while the fest is still going on? Or do they stay to the bitter end, do you think?
Yeah, I'd say for the most part they stay to the bitter end.
Yeah. Well, if you've got Udo closing out on Sunday, you want to stick around.
Yeah.
Okay. And I should say that some people have wondered about the language barrier. Is everything pretty much handled in English as far as communication with security, with the Walkin' personnel and announcements and things like that?
Yeah. For the most part, that is the case. Everything is in English. It's pretty easy to get around and communicate with people and understand things. I found that to be a little bit less of the case last year, but I attribute that to the fact that, I mean, it was the 20th anniversary, and I just felt it was more German focused. I mean, there were tons and tons of German bands last year, and I found that a bit of more of a struggle last year. But 2006 and this year definitely wasn't a problem.
All right, so the final band plays would be Udo. I guess what Sunday night, Monday morning technically is what it is when it was over.
Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Oh, Saturday and Sunday morning. Okay, so Udo's done. Good night. You know, he walks off stage. And is there a sort of collective, like, let's pack up the tent and get the hell out of here, or let's sleep a little bit more and then go later, or how does that work? I mean, were their shuttles going constantly, or were they only scheduled at
certain
times? Yeah,
pretty much going constantly. They start at 4 a.m. The one that we had was at 11:30 a.m., and I think the last one, I think they go to like 2:30 in the afternoon. And actually right after Udo ended, on the video screens at the main stages, they basically, it was like rolling credits, like a movie, and, you know, thanking the crew and everyone for, you know, successful Walkin'. And then they had, Tobias Sammet, the members of Blind Guardian, and members of Apocalyptica kind of saying a message, which is mostly all in German. But I was able to, figure out that, they announced, the first bands confirmed for next year's Walkin' 2011. And
which is right.
Avantasia, Blind Guardian, Apocalyptica, and Suicidal Tendencies.
Right. Yeah. I did find out about that. Man, I'd love to see a Blind Guardian for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry to get off track a little bit, but I have to ask, have you heard the new Blind Guardian record?
I actually just last night, I went to their website, and they're streaming three new songs that I heard, which sound awesome.
Okay.
I can't wait for it.
All right. Ha ha, I've got it. Ha ha. Anyway. So you're saying that the last shuttle left at 2:30 on Sunday afternoon. So basically, if you needed a ride to the airport, the campgrounds, for the most part, you think are cleared out by Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, I'd say for the most part, I think that's the case.
So you've got a mass exodus of people from us pretty much all Sunday morning, yep. Tens of thousands of people leaving the campgrounds all at once. And
right.
I imagine some probably, I mean, for those who drove, is there parking somewhere near the campground? Do you have to park in town?
There's designated areas on the campground where just tents, but a lot of it, you actually just park your car and then you pitch your tent right next to it.
Oh, okay.
So you don't, there's not like a separate parking area for the most part.
Okay. All right, so the mass exodus occurs. All of you guys are leaving. You took the shuttle. Do you have to wait? I mean, if you've got tens of thousands of people leaving within a few hours, I mean, are you finding yourselves waiting a couple of hours to get a shuttle? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, just depending on when you're scheduled. Like I said, we were at 11:30. Pretty much started getting up around 9:30, pack up the tent and everything. And so we probably had about, you know, an hour or so just to kind of wait once we were all packed up and basically just wait for your shuttle to be called. And then
okay, so you already have a specific time that your shuttle is booked for. So it's not a matter of trying to get a spot. It's a matter of mine's here at this time. I get on that one when it's that time.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and like I said, if you book it ahead of time, you can print off vouchers and you just bring those with you.
Okay.
There were some people, I'm sure, that were trying to get one or, like, you know, missed theirs and so trying to get on another one. So there was some of that trying to find one. But
right.
For the most part, it's all booked in advance.
Okay. So you take the shuttle, it takes you right back to the airport, correct?
Yep.
All right. And then you're all squared away to get to the airport. You just pretty much check your stuff, hop on board the plane, and you're on your way home. And simple as that?
Yeah. Well, not exactly, because like you said, mass exodus of people all kind of leaving at the same time, and I had heard horror stories of sitting in traffic for as long as 6 hours sometimes getting out of Vlaken. And so in last year when I booked the plane ride home, I figured, all right, I'm not going to chance it on Sunday and not make it. I'll just do it early Monday morning and just plan to spend the night at the airport on Sunday. And I don't know if you remember, but they've started this tradition where at midnight, all the Vlakeners who are at the Hamburg airport get together and do the wall of death.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. I was actually going to ask you if that happened this time, too.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
And I think I just lost his cell signal. All right, well, I'm going to try to get Matt back on the air because we did lose his signal. But it's funny how, you know what, we lose him right as we're talking about the wall of death. How absolutely bizarre is that? My guess is, I'm wondering if he was actually on the phone and then doing the whole wall of death thing as to kind of act out what he was going to say. I mean, it certainly makes sense. I mean, think about it. Put yourself in his position. Let's say you've just come back from a festival. There are tens of thousands of people all over the area, tons of people trying to get home. They're waiting, and they're waiting for their flight. Maybe some are staying at a hotel room at the airport. I imagine there are some people who are probably simply just staying at the airport until their flight leaves. And now that they've, I guess the regulars have experienced that when you're hanging out at the airport for so long, you kind of have to make the most of it. And I guess you kind of keep the festival vibe going. So apparently there was a little bit of this, thing where people are actually doing a wall of death while they're in an airport. And, you know, Matt can speak to this because I find it kind of bizarre that you're in an airport. You know, even if you're at an airport that's, you know, an hour or two away from any festival, I mean, you're going to have a lot of that element there. But a wall of death in an airport? What am I missing out on? That's just bizarre. All right, let me see if I can get Matt back on the phone because we want to talk more about Vlaken, about actually getting him home, his trip home, because this is something you just can't pass up. You don't learn about these things nearly enough. Let's see if we were able to get the signal back. So do we have you back on the air now? Nah, we don't have him. All right, Matt, are you there?
Yeah, yep.
Okay, I got you back. Okay. I take it you're on your cell and we just lost your signal?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Got to love technology. So so while I was actually waiting for you to call back, and I was explaining the whole thing, you know, the mass exodus of people, and you're going to have a lot of people hanging out at the airport, whether or not they've booked at a room in a nearby hotel and are, you know, kind of killing time until it's time for their flight, or people who are just don't have anywhere to go and they're simply at the airport waiting for their flight to leave. And I guess there's still a little bit of that metal festival camaraderie going on with people at the airport. And
yeah, actually, the first thing I did when I got to the airport was headed for the bathroom with some shampoo and wash my hair in the sink.
My guess is you weren't the only one.
Yeah. And then it's really bizarre once, you know, later at night, if you just walk around the hotel, because you just see you can tell all the people from Vakken because they're just all sleep, you know, passed out on the floor sleeping. Some get their sleeping bags out, and it's just people just laying around the hotel, just on the floor, chairs, benches, you know, what have you.
Wow.
Pretty interesting sight.
And somehow, out of this camaraderie / we're all stuck here, came out this idea of let's do a wall of death at an airport. Now, if this has happened before, I mean, is there any airport security around trying to prevent this from happening, or is it planned by these people so when security aren't around and they kind of plan it to make sure that there's no one around to stop it? I mean, how does this actually happen?
Yeah, it's actually interesting. You know, you definitely would never expect this in the States, but they actually got permission from security. They talked to security.
No
security
way.
Okayed it.
Oh,
and actually, I think one of the security officers actually filmed it. So
Germany is just so metal. That's just,
oh yeah.
Regardless of if you think a wall of death is ridiculous, metal, not metal, whatever. I mean, you got to admit. I mean, if security okays it. And then you got a security guy filming it. That's, oh, man. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen in the States. I don't know. That's pretty cool.
And actually, that just reminded me one thing to mention. This year, when we were going back and I was at the airport checking in bags at the Hamburg airport for the return flight, you know, I was wearing my festival shirt from this year. And the woman checking my bags, you know, saw it. She's like, oh, did you see Iron Maiden? I said, yeah, of course. She's like, yeah, I wish I could have seen them. I was only there for Saturday. She was actually at Vakken.
Cool. That's awesome, man.
So, yeah, that's great.
So you got your flight. Your flight home, I mean, was it littered with metalheads, or were you the only one?
Yeah, dude, actually, and because we were flying, you know, a few days later, I, you know, figured, you know, we'd pretty much be the only metalheads. But there were a couple others coming back with us that you could tell, you know, had been from Vakken. They, you know, walked on the plane. One of them was wearing a Viking helmet with the horns. And it was pretty funny. They actually sat in the aisle just across, directly across from me. And it was, you know, two buddies. And then just this girl who I think was either from France or going to France or something was next to them. There were three seats. And, you know, they're very chatty, you know, talking to her, asking her, you know, where she's going, what she does. And then next thing you know, I look over. They have their trays down. They're both passed out, just gone. And the stewardesses are coming through, you know, with the drink service. And one of them starts laughing, and they point at them. She's like, "Oh, you think they were out last night?"
That's funny. You know, it's funny you mentioned the airport wall of death. Can you imagine if there was an airplane wall of death? You've got one person on each side of the airplane wall of death would be one person against one person. You know, because those aisles are so narrow.
Up the ends of the aisle. And
yeah, you and another guy doing a wall of death on an airplane. All right, so you
wall
fly
home. Wall of death at 30,000 feet.
Yeah. So you fly home. You get home, what, Monday night, Tuesday morning, something like that?
Yeah, we left Tuesday morning,
okay.
I actually got home Tuesday afternoon, mid-afternoon.
All right, so I got to ask you, you know, you get fly into the airport, you either take a cab, pick up your car, or whatever, you get back to your place, you walk in the door, what do you do?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, threw the stuff down, and pretty much the first thing I did was I got the DVD from last year, the 2009 DVD, which I picked up at the festival, and started watching it.
Damn, dude. I was expecting you to say, oh, you know, I dropped the bags and went to bed.
Yeah, well, pretty much. Sleep wasn't far off. As soon as I put it on, I started falling asleep to it. But
falling asleep to a metal DVD. Well, so you survived another year. This is what, the second year in a row you saw it, right? Because you were
went a few years ago. Third year total. Because I went 2006 was my first time.
So even though they've only announced a few bands, you're thinking you might do 2011?
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, we were talking, you know, some of the things we were criticizing, you know, we're talking, we're like, oh, you know, maybe we'll save some money, take a year off next year or something. And then I see Avantasia, and I was just, I have to see them live. So it's like, you know, we're like, all right, well played, Vaughn. We're back in 2011.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to make sense booking them. I mean, you know, obviously Tobias is German. I'm sure he's going to be in the area. And I think Avantasia has got a pretty good following in Germany. And, you know, he's put out, what, 3-4 records now. So, you know, with the Ed Guy, as far as the Ed Guy history, I mean, you know, even those people who are not in Avantasia would go see him because of him and his albums that he did with Ed Guy. So that makes sense.
Right.
And I'm sure
He's
going to be one of the headlining acts. I'm sure he'll be on the main stage. And no doubt Blind Guardian will be headlining one of the nights, I'm sure. That's going to be massive. I mean, oh man, love Blind Guardian, love them.
Yeah, and I've never seen them live. So, and I mean, seeing them would be amazing. But to see them, you know, in their home country, from what I understand, is just, you know, another level. I saw some video footage of one of the other years when they played Vaken, and when they do the Bard song. Almost don't hear the band; just the entire crowd just overpowers them. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to get their DVD set, Imaginations Through the Looking Glass. Get that, and is that what it's called, or is Imagine? I don't know, maybe I got the title wrong. But get the DVD set, and obviously get the new album when it comes out. It's coming out soon.
I do have the DVD, eagerly awaiting the new album. So.
And so you think you might be doing 2011? Looking like it's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Cool. And, I mean, like I said, with Avantasia, because I think 2 years ago when they did a tour, I thought I remembered Tobias saying something like, you know, this is your chance to see us. We're not going to tour again. You know, because it's so difficult getting so many musicians, you know, to line up schedules and everything. So I figured, you know, okay, I missed them. That's it. And I mean, I would love to see them live. And also, you know, Blind Guardian. I'll definitely plan on being back next year.
And I take it the tickets are already on sale for that?
Yep.
Those
Xmas package tickets I talked about sold out in 5 hours.
That's just crazy.
We tried to do it from the hotel computer in the lobby, and they were sold out before we could even had a chance. They went on sale at 1 a.m. 2 days after the festival ended, and it was just they were gone by, I think, like, I don't know.
Right,
yeah, I mean, 5 hours. Yeah, it must have been gone by like 6, 7 in the morning or something.
That's crazy. That's mad. Well, good for them. I'm glad it's still going strong. I guess it gets bigger and bigger every year. And I will say this, and you've been there. I haven't been there, but I'm sure you could agree with this. The fact that they haven't turned it into, like, I don't know if you remember or ever even went to a festival over in Europe. Might even be Germany, called Dynamo. That used to be a metal fest, and then they kind of, they were creeping in more and more rock bands, and then it totally transformed into a non-metal show. You know, it's a festival with a couple of metal bands, but rock bands, and, you know, if that's what they want to do, fine, but I guess I give Vaken credit because they just haven't lost sight of where they came from, what they started out doing, and they're still doing it all these friggin' years later, and it's still metal. I mean, they're not pulling in those, you know, bands that metalheads like us would say don't really belong. They haven't gone that route.
These past few years, a couple of those have started to sneak in, but I mean, overall,
You could say there are some fringe bands like say a Motley Crue or an Alice Cooper, but still, it's not a case of, you know, they're not booking like the latest trend in America that just happens to have a heavy sound. You know, they're still booking groups like an Udo. You know, and obviously they're going to book some big German names. That makes sense. But they're still getting it right with the bands they're booking. So I give them credit for that. And they didn't pull a Dynamo where they just decided, oh, let's try different things. Hell, you've got the Hard Rock Fest here in Oklahoma in the States. They've branched out. Now they're doing that whole thing where it's not just a traditional 80s, 90s style hard rock thing. It's now a Flavor of the Month Hard Rock Day and then some old style bands on one day.
I was disappointed by that because, you know, the first few years when they did that, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'd definitely have to check that out. And then when I saw the lineup, I think it was for this year, yeah, I said, yep, if this is the direction they're going, I mean, it seems like they lost sight of the reason they started the whole
exactly
thing.
Exactly, and actually I know why that happened. And, you know, just, and I'm bringing this up to kind of contrast what a German Metal Fest, you know, how that sort of, compare and contrast with an American Metal Fest. See, with Rocklahoma, that's the biggest rock festival in the States. Some metal bands, you know, I think it was the previous year in 2009, they started to bring in more of the heavier bands, more like real traditional style metal bands. And they did pretty well. They, you know, they kept a lot of the so-called 80s bands, which is really what made them and established them. They kept some of those bands, but they started adding in more metal bands. And then this past year, I remember before the bands were even announced, they had hired somebody to sort of assist them with the production of the festival. And what they did was they looked at what they could do to make it even bigger. Well, that meant going modern, going with the flavor of the month, going with the trend. And now they're booking a lot of these, you know, bands that, you know, you're not going to hear on B&M, that's for sure. And a lot, right. And I think many, or at least some of the fans of the bands that Rocklahoma established themselves on, are not going to want to hear. But yeah, if it brings exactly. in, if it brings in a different kind of fan just to see those bands, then they figure, okay, well, we'll just bring in more people. We'll bring in the usual ones who want to see the Steelhearts and the Warrants and the LA Guns, and then we'll bring in these, you know, these MTV style bands, and then that'll bring in other people who normally wouldn't come. So I get it, but now I've wanted to go to Rocklahoma for a few years now. I ain't going. It's forget it. You know, I don't want to have to.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how I feel. Like, originally I wanted to go there because that's where you went for the 80s scene, and they were you know, booking all those bands, and that was the place to go to see it because, you know, nowhere else was doing it. And then, you know, completely just jump ship from that and change. It's like, okay, well, you know, I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah, I mean, even if they're going to book some of those same bands, I don't want to have to sit through. I mean, we go through this with, like, the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival. You know, you got to sit through so many crap bands just for the one good band. You know, I want to go to a fest where I want to see all the bands. Now, of course, you can't please everybody. But, you know, when you establish yourself as this and then you start to work in other things, I mean, you may pull in new fans, but I think as many as you pull in, you're going to start losing the ones who would normally come. So I don't necessarily think you expand that much. I don't think you're going to make any more money. I mean, like, a guy like me, I was really wanted to do it. I ain't going to do it now. I just don't want to have to deal with all that. So that's what I like about Vulcan. I know I'm not going to have to sit through anything that where I would say, oh, why do they even bother? Aside whether or not I liked them or not, you know, well, that's one thing. You can't please everybody. But if you book a band and you're thinking they don't belong, then, you know, yeah, then you know you got a problem. You know, like, Vulcan should not be booking, like you were mentioning, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, if it were the Peppers, it's like, you know, why? No. Exactly. That's what I'm getting at, is that I can always rely on Vulcan. I haven't even been yet, but I know I wouldn't have to worry about that.
And you know, and even if there is, you know, a band like that or you know, a band that you absolutely don't like, there's enough else going on, you know, that you can completely skip them and, you know, still find something to do, too, so...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's so much going on that even the metal bands you don't like, I mean, there are going to be plenty of bands that everybody doesn't like. There's always something to do, whereas being stuck at Rocklahoma in 120-degree weather with a bunch of crap bands that, well, you know, Matt, we've been chatting for, like, over 80 minutes, and it's a long time. I really appreciate it. This is going to help people because, like I was telling you off air before, is that we did this last year. Of course, we didn't talk for 80 minutes. I think it was a lot shorter than this. But, you know, I posted that online, and I was using that and promoting it as a sort of, you know, like not just an FYI, but more like if you're going to Vulcan or if you're thinking of going, listen to this, get some ideas, get some tips, and this can help you decide, what do I take? What do I do? How do I manage? You know, what should I expect? That kind of thing. And that's why I liked what we're doing tonight, is that even more so than last year, I think this is more informative for people who are thinking about doing it or are planning to do it or actually already have that old Christmas package deal. And then they need to figure out, okay, what's my next step? And I think this is very informative, very helpful, and I certainly appreciate 80 minutes of your time talking about this. This was awesome, man. I really, really thank you for your time.
Yeah, you know, it's my pleasure. Happy to do it. And also, just to add to that, if anyone else that wants more information, if you go to the the Vakken website, you know, www.vakken.com, W-A-C-K-E-N. And then and when you get to the homepage, there'll be a German section and an English section. Once you get on there, if you click on forum and you go into the once you're in the forum, there's a thread that basically is the survival guide of Vakken from people that have been there for years, and just packed with information, tips on, you know, what to bring, you know, what to expect, and things like that. So it's just even more information on the forum, on the website as well.
Oh, that's cool. I should maybe you can post the podcast once we get this up online. Maybe post it there too. That'd be kind of cool. Yeah. Again, thanks for this. I know last year you had done some reporting on it that was posted online. Your writing was posted online and in a newspaper. Are you going to be doing any sort of write up of your trip to Vakken this year? And are you going to be doing that for anything?
Yeah, actually, I did do just kind of my own personal write up this year. I don't believe it's going to be published in the newspaper that I work for, but I did post it to my I've had Facebook, so I posted it there. So it, you know, if anyone wanted to read it, you know, they can find me, add me, Matt Bauer, Bower, on Facebook, and it's posted there. So it's quite lengthy. I went in depth, covered everything, posted set lists for bands, and so there's a lot there to see.
Awesome, man. Hey, thanks again. Certainly appreciate it. And we welcome feedback. Get in touch with Matt, or you can get in touch with me here. My email address, blacknightmeditations@msn.com. And the phone number here at WSCA, 603-430-9722. That's 430-WSCA. Matt, our conversation is going to be posted online very soon. Thanks a lot for your time. Appreciate it. I'm going to go into a Wasp song now from the latest record, Babylon. This will be their cover of the Deep classic, a Deep Purple classic, Burn. Thanks a lot, Matt. Take care, brother.
Sure, thanks. You too.
All right, have a good night.